you look out, you can see the whole plain of Latium with the ring of hills surrounding it. And you say, that is where Roman history began. That is where the Romans were nurtured. Well, Latium's a part of Italy. Let's just for a minute fix the shape of Italy in our minds. It's a long peninsula, as you know. It runs about 750 miles from the Alps in the north all the way to the Mediterranean Sea in the south. To the Romans, however, parts of this peninsula were more important than others. If you were going up along the eastern coast of Italy, at just about the point when the coast begins to loop around and turn directly to the east, there's a small river. It's called the Rubicon. Now, very much later in history, and a few lectures later in this course, we'll see Caesar crossing the Rubicon, but that's not our point today. The point today I want to make is the Rubicon separated Italy proper, Roman Italy proper, from Gallia Cisalpina, the area on the other side, that means Gaul, on this side of the Alps. So, to the Romans, Italy is the area from the Rubicon River south. Now, we can take this whole Italian area, however, and we can divide it into several regions. Let's go back up to this top area, Gallia Cisalpina. Of course, the Romans then later on would refer to Gallia Transalpina, Gaul, what we think of as France. That's Gaul on the other side of the Alps. Well, we'll get Romans there a little bit later on. Here we're in the north of Italy proper, or at least of the Italian region. Gallia Cisalpina is essentially the Po River Basin. It is an area of extraordinarily rich farmland. It was in antiquity. It is today. It's an area with a mild continental climate. It doesn't quite have the Mediterranean climate of peninsular Italy, but it doesn't quite have the harsh winters, for example, of the continent to the north. So very valuable agricultural land, but in certain respects, outside the immediate ambit of Roman interests. Liguria Tuscany is the region north of Latium, north of Rome, particularly along the western coast of Italy and extending over to the Apennine Mountains, which is the spine of mountains that runs up and down the Italian peninsula. Those Apennines, it's worth pausing to say for just a moment, are not so terribly high, but they're high enough that they've always been a bit of a nuisance for travel and communications in Italy. If any of you have ever visited Italy, you know perfectly well that it's very easy to take trains north and south and very difficult to take trains east and west. Because if you go east and west, you've got to hop the Apennines at some point or another. Anyway, Liguria Tuscany was, as Roman history opens, the place where people called the Etruscans lived. And we'll see in just a few minutes that the Romans had some important encounters with the Etruscans in their early history. On the other side of Latium, to the south, is Campania, literally the countryside. The main people here were called the Samnites. In our next lecture, actually, we'll encounter the Romans dealing with the Samnites as they begin to spread their authority inside Italy. The main thing we want to remember here is this is an area of tough, craggy mountain ridges. Most of them rising, well, not most, but many of them rising, to about 2,000 meters in height. This is tough country. If you ever have an opportunity to ask a veteran of World War II who had to fight his way up through that country, you'll understand something of the task the Romans faced as they fought their way down through that country. So Campania, the region to the south of Latium. Finally, on the other side of Campania was Magna Graecia. Now, you perhaps recall that we've talked about this before. This is the heel and toe of the Italian peninsula and coming all the way up to the Bay of Naples, and then the island of Sicily lying beyond. This is the area where, during the transition from the Dark Ages to the Archaic period in Greek history, we saw large numbers of Greek colonists come and settle. And we even bumped into philosophers there, people like Protagoras, for example. So this had been a very important region and had helped in some ways to begin linking Italy in the west to the world of the eastern Mediterranean, to the Greek world. The Iron Age came to Italy perhaps 1000 BC, the transition from the Bronze Age to the Iron Age. The Italian peninsula seems to have experienced the same kinds of migrations from the north to the south that, for example, the Balkan Peninsula did, and probably on roughly the same chronology. But we can pick up the story not in the prehistoric, not in the Neolithic, but rather with the advent of the Iron Age, the emergence of iron weapons.